Brad Harbaugh, who are some of the teachers that have left a lasting impact on you?
Well, there would be Mr. Zekas. He was a history teacher I had in high school. He would play Mozart during tests, and it threw off a lot of the students, but I loved it. And his hall pass was this huge shield, and if you forgot it when you went to the bathroom, you'd be halfway down the hall, and you'd hear this shh coming down the hallway. He would whip that shield at you down the hallway. That was your bathroom pass. Another one was Patty Eckelsheimer. She's the one who actually got me started down the road to theater. She had us do poems, and I did Gunga Din. And she was just couldn't be any more encouraging, and so that was a great one. And then Teresa Davis in college, she was my one of my theater profs. And she just said, Brad, no one is going to spoon feed you. If you want to do this, you're going to have to do it yourself. And she was the first person to really just sort of kick me in the pants. And that was so encouraging, but it was done so lovingly. She's like, I know you have potential and you can do it, but you know what? You're going to have to step up and make the choices yourself. And those three teachers, you know, really took care of me.
Cool. Do you see a unifying thread amongst the three of them? What did they have in common and how they related to you?
Just what you said, related to me. They were human. They treated me like a person. They didn't, they treated me differently than they treated the other students, and they treated the other students differently than they treated me. And there was that respect. You respected them because you knew they respected you.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 130, Teachers We Love. Back in March, I emceed a memorial concert for Alan Harvey, the beloved music teacher from my high school who passed away earlier this year. The concert was a wonderful reunion of 17 different years' worth of Piedmont High School students, many of whom went on to careers in the arts or education. We had an a cappella singing group at Piedmont High called the Troubadours. You heard a group of Troubadour alumni singing at the top of the podcast, and you'll hear them again. But the concert got me thinking about the lasting impact great teachers can have. So I spent several weeks asking RSC actors and performers about the great teachers that inspired them. Reed Martin, any teachers that have made a lasting impact on you?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. There's probably a dozen of them. I had a wonderful kindergarten teacher, Muriel Robbins, who still lives in Sonoma, and I see her. When we were performing in London one time, she was coming through. She'd just been on safari in Africa.
Uh-huh. Good, good.
And and the principal there was a wonderful guy, Gerald Tuller, who I still see walking around town. Then my first and second—I had the same teacher for first and second grade, Mrs. Godfrey, and she was wonderful. We listened to classical music, and it sort of, you know, it's planted a seed to appreciate that later on. I don't think I necessarily did at the time, but talking about the composers and their lives. She taught us Spanish. She was very strict about manners. And then in junior high school, Anna Sue Schlobaum was our English teacher. And Anna Sue Schlobaum.
Oh, okay.
Actually, if you watch the America DVD, I think she asked the question, why were the early settlers called Yankees? So that was my seventh and eighth, my junior high English teacher, who was a great lady. And then in high school, I had Mike DeLong, who the library now at Sonoma High is named after, who was a wonderful guy. And a friend of Pete Rozelle, and when the NFL was starting, Pete Rozelle asked him to come work on this, you know, this league. And he said, no, I'm going to, that doesn't sound very promising, I'm going to be a teacher. And he never regretted it.
Uh-huh.
He's one of those guys. And then my high school basketball coach, Bob Bergman, was just a great, great guy. And I've just had a slew of wonderful teachers.
So it would take less time to count the teachers who didn't have a good impact on you.
just about. I think that's good. And I think it's so unfortunate if you get... I think it's good if you have a few teachers you don't get along with, because it teaches you how to get along with life. But I was so fortunate, also even going from nursery school to kindergarten and first and second grade, I had such a good basis that when I had some who were not, didn't connect with so much, it wasn't such a big deal.
Right. I had a bunch, And but there was one in elementary school, Mrs. Clanton, Jan Clanton, uh-huh. who I had a major crush on in uh-huh. third grade. But also, she just, well, first of all, she thought I hung the moon. She thought everything I did was so creative and so wonderful. And so I got a lot of positive feedback from her about things creative, you know, which was great. And she used a lot of creative things in her teaching, a lot of creative tools, art and drawing and pictures and concepts and conceits to teach the material. And so and she's the one I remember most from elementary school. But then in high school, there were the guys I call the big three, one of whom is Alan Harvey, who I've talked about, and then the other, who was the music teacher. Then there was the English teacher, a man named James Killian, who was, if anybody's seen me perform in All the Great Books Abridged, the part of the professor, that sort of pompous pedantry that my character has is the kind of, you know, faux pompous pedantry that Mr. Killian had. He brought such a joie de vivre and a kind of a imperiousness to the teaching of high school English, you know, and was a little bit like Don Rickles in the sense that he had a nickname for every student. He insulted every student, and you felt left out if he didn't insult you. You know, if he didn't have some nickname for you, I mean, he didn't like you. You know, yeah. And then we had, and then my third one was my track coach, Coach Kevin McNair, who was also the Piedmont High football coach, and it was just a great motivator, and I think the things that were common amongst those three guys was the fact that I think they understood what everything that was going on in my life. Because when I was in high school, I was in the plays, and I ran track, and I ran cross country, and I played football for about 5 minutes, you know. Yeah. And I didn't play basketball, and I wish I had. But you know, they all sort of went, okay, you're doing the shows, go do that. Oh, you're doing running track, go do that. Go, you got a paper due, go do that. You know, it was just they somehow managed to make their subject relevant to my life in a way that stands out for me.
Well, your pompous teacher sounds like probably my most influential college professor was Bill Oliver. Oh. I didn't start acting till I was halfway through college, yeah. And loved it and didn't know if I was any good, and he believed in me, but he was a guy who spoke like, Reed Martin, you should pursue this as a career, you know. Yeah. But he just, you know, you always wonder, are you good enough? And he was very encouraging and saw something in me that he thought maybe this was something I could do. And so that was a big thing when you're first starting out. And then I almost left out maybe my favorite of all high school teachers was the journalism teacher, because I was editor of the high school paper and was on the newspaper for 4 years, Joel Cole, who I think my writing is probably more influenced by him more than anybody else. Mm. When you're sitting there, oh, what am I going to write? What am I going to write? He said, well, Reed, you just write something, you know, just get it down.
Yeah.
You know, the hardest thing is to start. Once then, it's all rewriting. Yeah. And nothing could be more true. And he's just the nicest guy. He later got out of teaching. It's hard to live in Sonoma on a teacher's salary. He got into real estate, and he was our realtor for the house we bought. So it was really cool. Small town stuff.
That takes me back. Never thought my heart could be.
I went on to grad school in directing, and I continue to make my living in the theater every day using skills I learned from Alan Harvey. In fact, Jody Weiland, now Jody McFarland, thinks that I probably got my start reducing things for a living. Because I was allowed to call Mr. Harvey Harv. Maybe she's right.
Hi there, this is Paul.
This is Storm.
Together we would be Paul and Storm. And whether or not you know who we are...
We know who you are.
And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Like he said...
Where can you see the RSC? Well, this summer you can only see us in Singapore. Tickets are on sale right now. Go to our website, reduceshakespeare.com, and also go to our website, check on the touring page, because almost all of our fall tour dates are up online. We'll be in Hong Kong for 2 weeks in September, then Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Walnut Creek, California. Plus, there are two other of our favorite American cities that we'll be returning to for at least a week each this fall, and I'll announce those cities in the next couple of weeks when we get them officially scored away and posted up online. And now back to more of the teachers we love. So, Michael Faulkner, do you have any... teachers who inspired you that you remember?
I definitely do. And I think I'm going to have to take them in chronological order because there's more than a few that have impacted me. First of all, you know, we all do theater in high school, and we have no idea what we're doing. And I realized that I was just kind of a dancing monkey in my senior year and doing things that had no relation to what was going on in the text. And I thought it was...
And no offense, but a bit of a dancing monkey now.
Yeah, oh, well, more so now. At least now I'm paid. So... The thing is I realized that I was making a complete ass of myself, which I enjoy now, but I lost it. And I thought it was my failure. I thought I could never, ever be on stage again. And I went to college, and I didn't even want to take an acting class, even though it had been my passion. So I finally did just, you know, took an intro class, and it was a Meisner class, all about, you know, believability and real impulses and, you know, acting truthfully acting truthfully under imaginary circumstances. And it opened my eyes to everything. And the teacher was Greg Fritsch and at UC Santa Cruz. And it brought me back in a way that I did not know that I could.
So he's the guy who kind of convinced you, no, wait a second, this is something I really do enjoy and I am or can be good at.
Yeah, and I can be good at, especially because he cast me in my first paid acting gig, which was a production of The Foreigner, and I played Ellard, the kind of slow guy.
Good casting.
Yeah, during a fall production outside of the school. So, I mean... And that's, you know, that's the most influential thing you ever did for me. No. Sorry, Greg, if you're listening.
Giving somebody a gig. No, that really does.
Yeah, that does help. That's pretty influential. And then I have a Shakespeare teacher named Jack Zerbe, who was incredibly influential. I took his class and ended up assisting him teach others the class at Shakespeare Santa Cruz. And he actually got to see me in a production of The Complete Works of William Shakespeare. The first show we did after 9/11 in 2001, we did at his college in Greensboro, North Carolina, where he's the head of the theater program. And suitably embarrassed him because he had spent all this time teaching me how to do Shakespeare well. And then he saw me running out on stage and engaging in all the coarse techniques that he had tried to beat out of me. So that was great. And then lastly, my improvisationally, I would have to say two of my teachers at Second City Los Angeles, Mike Ross and Dave Rozowski, who I think some other RSC members are also going to feel indebted to.
Brent Tubbs. Brent Tubbs mentioned Rozowski as well.
Yeah. Rozowski just has a way of, and he doesn't always stick to the program, but what he does do is he really, you know, he helps you combine that believability and he helps you work from a place of truth and emotional truth rather than looking for the snappy one-liner, which, you know, kind of takes me back to what I was trying to do in high school.
Interesting about Dave Rozowski is that he was he's kind of like a couple of years ahead of D at Second City in Chicago. And when we first moved there, he was on the ETC stage with Nia Vardalos.
And Ian Gomez. I saw shows there, yeah.
And we were going, who is that guy? Yeah. And now that guy is a good friend of all of ours.
Yeah, and the funny thing, too, about Dave Rozowski is he actually was a replacement for you in the Shakespeare show, mm-hmm. and he couldn't do it anymore because he was teaching for full-time, and when he stopped working for the RSC is when I got hired.
That's very influential.
Yeah, so I went up to him. Then he got the artistic directorship at Second City where I was taking classes at the time, and I went up to him and said, hey, how you doing? He goes, oh, what class are you in, level 3 or level 4? And I said, yeah, but more importantly, I'm your replacement in the RSC, which immediately gave him me new cachet in his eyes.
Is there a teacher, Liz Fitzpatrick, that's had an impact on you? Can you remember one or...
Well, there are probably several. My favorite teacher was my second grade teacher.
Uh-huh. Because she liked you the best? You don't, why?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. She made me work hard, which is good.
But she made you work hard, but you didn't get angry with her. I mean, you still like her all these years later.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I knew. I think even at the time I knew it was good for me. But you know.
But she reached you and made you work hard in a way that others didn't somehow.
Exactly. Exactly. She did.
But you don't know why or how.
I don't know how. She just did.
What was her name?
Mrs. Smith.
Come on, this is an alias. What's her real name?
No, that really is her name. But then, of course, there's my middle school drama teacher who my father still blames for my career. So
oh.
She probably had an impact, too, but, you know.
What's her name?
Mrs. Field.
Mrs. Field.
Yeah.
Just in case these teachers are listening, this is a whole podcast about teachers we love.
Yeah, I have a feeling Mrs. Field probably hasn't figured out how to turn on her computer yet, but that's okay.
Matt Croak, you have any teachers that have had an impact?
In Notre Dame High School in Niles, Illinois, we had a good English department, and Mr. Zielinski was a good teacher, and he just was really good about doing the rules, you know, the English rules. And then Mr. Governale, he loved teaching to just boys, and it reflected in his teaching. He could say things, show things. He showed us the world according to GARP, to teach stuff. But he graded on the weirdest. It was graded on points. It was like 23.5, and we would harass him on purpose, going, "We don't understand it? Huh? I told you. I take the score, minus that by 3. If you have 2 wrong, and you get 4 plus 5, and that's 23.5. Aren't you guys?" And he'd get really, "Aren't you paying attention? But where does the 0.5 go?" And he'd throw his gosh darn it, I'm telling you. Take the number of answers minus it. So half the class was spent of us trying to make him explain his grading system, but he introduced us to Macbeth and readings, but he was really passionate, and he said he wouldn't teach if it was a co-ed. It was just, okay, I don't know what that means, but he was very comfortable teaching to us, not in a weird way, but in a very strong, yeah, aggressive, yeah. And he was a big guy. He could beat the crap out of you and was allowed to, so
because it's a Catholic high school.
But he wasn't a jerk. Yeah. He was just a really good, passionate teacher passionate.
Is that a measure of a teacher's greatness, is how easy he is to imitate? He has a distinctive personality.
Well, and Mr. Zielinski, the other teacher, he would say a rule to you and then cup his hands and say the rule again. He would cup his hands over his mouth and repeat the rule. So it's you, and it worked, because you'd be like, and then you'd see him cup his hands and go, "Oh wait, I gotta know this."
If he cups his hand, this is something that's gonna be on the test.
We gotta know this. So so those guys are all very imitatable.
But I can see how that would hurt you in life, you know. If something happens, how come you didn't know this? Well, you didn't cup your hands.
Cup your hands. How can this be on the test? There's no hand cupping.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite teachers via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You know what? In fact, go to Facebook and start a tribute page to your favorite teachers right now. Make sure your old teachers know how much they mean to you before they pass away. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Just click on forum. You can also find us at facebook.com, become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, hall monitor Matthew Croak. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Jennifer Thacker. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Paul and Storm. Check out their website, paulandstorm.com. Music by John Weber and GarageBand, and this week by the Piedmont High School alumni students of Alan Harvey, who performed at his memorial concert. In fact, I'll leave you with an excerpt of a Gilbert and Sullivan tribute to Alan Harvey, sung by myself, Jim McElvain, and David Stein, who also wrote the new lyrics. Special thanks to Nate Stein for getting me all these recordings. Check out his website, NathanStein.tv. And finally, thanks very much to all of you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 130/390 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Show us how. Well, please, then take a bow. love does still surround. Harv was spirit, Harv was sound. It's Alan Harvey that made our world go round.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.